Hello, and welcome to God Calling Vocation Vibes, conversations with Little Sisters of the Poor, among ourselves and with various guests. I'm Sister Carolyn, and I'm so pleased to have with me today Brother Tom Osorio from the Hospitaller Order of St. John of God, and we are going to talk about the vocation of a religious brother. Brother Tom, would you kindly introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about you, and maybe even tell us how you came to be a religious brother?
So I'm Brother Tom Osorio. I'm from Bronx, New York. And really, it was an interesting story. One day, passing by the Little Sisters' home in the Bronx, and I was intrigued by this sister pushing an elderly patient in the wheelchair. So I went in and asked if I could volunteer. I don't know what I was expecting, but I was immediately brought to a room with boxes and told to unpack the boxes. I thought I was going to feed somebody or do something important. But that began that story of that invitation that the sisters eventually were for me in thinking about religious life. I didn't really think of priesthood. It was not on my mind, my radar. And I was attracted to the sisters and the way they were interacting with the patients, the residents, and the way they made them feel like it was their home. And that was, as a 13, 14-year-old, I was really drawn to that. It was a little sister who invited me to consider religious brother. I thought she was a little crazy, and I said, not going to happen, and here I am. And so I am grateful for that sister.
Well, God has a wild imagination, and he uses all kinds of instruments. So praise him for the path that your journey took you and for where it ended up. And would you please tell those who have joined us a little bit about the vocation of religious brother, because many people don't really get it. What is a religious brother?
Right. A religious brother in the church, we are called to the non-sacramental life of the church. And that can be anything from teaching or nursing, or social work, or social services, prison ministry, youth ministry. And I think the beauty of the vocation of brother is that the call to serve is the foundation. And how one group does that versus another varies, of course, according to their charism. But to be brother is really about being, not necessarily doing. And a lot of that sounds kind of easy, but it's more difficult, right? So it's more difficult to be silent and just be with someone and maybe say something or let them say something or nothing is said at all. That is really the vocation of brother. I think Henry Nouwen says it best when he talks about hospitality in general, and he said it's about creating a space for others to find God. And so the way I think of brotherhood is that you're both coming to this space, creating this space, and allowing God to speak to both the giver and the receiver. And then that does away with giver and receiver. And so it's an encounter. So it's an invitation to encounter God in the midst of everyday life.
And so there are many, many different congregations of religious brothers, many different charisms, but your charism is?
Our charism is to journey with the sick and the poor, those who are living on the margins of society, those who are neglected. So I always like to say the Hospitaller vocation to be a brother of St. John of God is really from the womb to the tomb. And it's all about celebrating what's in between. Many people will say, oh, your charism is very sad. You must have a high stress turnover, or you must be very sad all the time. And it's anything but, because again, you are actually being with people, journeying with people each and every day at various stages of their lives. And when you walk away with that, you are more connected to Jesus Christ than you were before that encounter.
Yes, I often think about, you know, what people out in society say, he's like a brother to me. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing to say. That's a loving, tender thing to say. And all of you are brothers to God's people. Can you share with us some of the beautiful or touching moments that you've experienced as a religious brother?
You know, As you know, I entered working with the elderly. I never had any experience with children or special needs or any, for that matter. And here I entered the Brothers in New Jersey, where they cater to children and adults with disabilities. And so I was more comfortable with the older clients, not so much with the younger ones. However, most of my ministry has been with the children. And I can remember being in pastoral care and I was getting trained, and I walked into a very uncomfortable situation where this child was terminally ill and I had no idea what to say to the family. And so I walk in and I said, you know, can we pray? And I remember the dad looking and he said, if you feel that's what you need. And I always remembered that. So my experience has always been, whether the child is 2 years old or someone is 78 years old, you really got to read the room, right? And you really have to just come in as, I'm not here to save the world. I'm not here to provide you with a service. I'm just here to be. And so those experiences happen over and over. Most of my encounters with people are unplanned, right? So I can remember having the greatest Thanksgiving ever. And I was the only brother. I was living on my own. Brothers were doing ministries all over the place from the community in New Jersey. And I was the only one at home, and which meant I was going to be spending Thanksgiving on my own. And, you know, I love my own time, so I was okay with that. And yet, I get a call for this child who had no limbs. He was 5 pounds, like a 5 pound bag of sugar, right? And the doctors, when he came to us, said, oh, brother, you really should just let them go to a nursing home because he's going to live maybe 2 months. 17 years later, this child was dying. And I get the call that he had died in the emergency room, and I get there, and he was already pronounced dead. And I brought the mom in to see her son, Edgar. And she cried and kissed him, and then the monitor starts beeping again. So Edgar was not dead. Of course, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Doctors came from everywhere to see this. Long story short, throughout those days, his brain ceased. And so as we were saying the prayers and preparing Edgar to go home to the Lord, we sat. And I remember thinking, I was supposed to be alone on this Thanksgiving. And God saw it in his wisdom to bring us together. And through that experience, other people came home to God. People around the table, around the bed, who said they had given up on God because of what they see every day. And that experience today has brought people to God. In fact, the head nurse at that time is now a priest in the Midwest. So those are just some of those things that are unplanned. Another time, I'm at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, and I'm walking down the hall, and someone said to me, are you a preacher? Because my daughter is at the end, and I would like to pray. And she literally offered me her child in my arms, and we prayed, the three of us, and the child died with me. Again, a grace-filled moment. For me, those are definitions of brotherhood, of hospitality. Again, hospitality is that invitation, and most of the time it's God is inviting me, God is inviting us into a story that is already predetermined, but we need that story, we need that encounter, and through that I think great hope comes, and just countless stories of those. And then there are other moments that are significant in my life as a brother, that they're very lonely times. When you have to make a decision and you are going to affect somebody's life or the quality of life, or you're running a ministry, well, there's a lot of behind the scenes that happens there, and it can be a very lonely time. However, I always found in my loneliness, in my frustration, that the Lord is even more present and becomes sort of that spark in me to remind me I am not alone. That is that personal invitation that the Lord sends to each of us.
He's always there with us.
Always.
He's always working in us. Mm. And I love how you brought out the witness to the people around the scene of the dying person, because so many times people think that those of you who are brothers in whatever different religious congregation, those of us who are sisters in various congregations, ministries, do only what is the specific work of our hands. But God is doing His work, which is ever so much broader and touches a lot of people and touches a world that really is in need of that witness.
Yeah. And He puts us in uncomfortable positions at times. And I remember going to our hospital in Dublin, Ireland, a psychiatric hospital, and I was told I was going to be on the unit there for 3 weeks. And I thought, oh, okay, this is different. And I walked in, and someone had just committed suicide. And I thought, oh, Mother of God, I do not want this. I'm not into psychiatry. So I went to the superior and said, yeah, that's not going to work. And he said, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. And the next day, I was a little flustered because I was running late, and I had to take care of a patient. And a brother came over to me, and he said, are you okay? And I said, well, we have Mass in about 10 minutes, and I'm here. And he said, right, so... He said, you're going to leave Jesus to go find him. And I said, I don't follow. And he said, Jesus is here in the bed, and you're going to go to the chapel and celebrate him there. I never forgot that. That is the definition of a religious brother and the vocation of a religious brother. It is to encounter Jesus where he wants us to encounter him, not necessarily what we have planned.
And so often it's the same for us as Little Sisters of the Poor and many religious. And you know that when you encounter, touch, behold the sick person on their sick bed, it's the altar for the suffering body of Christ.
Absolutely.
And he's truly there because he said he was. He said, I am there. What you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. So, brother, didn't you mention that a couple of your brothers are nurses for the Holy Father?
Yes. So we have a unique situation there where we do operate the Vatican Pharmacy. And with that, we do have brothers that will minister to the Holy See, particularly our Holy Father. And that is a unique ministry within our order, one that is something that we hold very close to us. Very fond of the service that we're providing for the Holy Father. I can remember when Pope Benedict XVI was not well when he, after he retired, and we were in chapter, and the chapter had to stop because the brother that was assisting Pope Emeritus Benedict was needed to go. So the chapter stopped so he could attend. And I thought, what a beautiful time of reflection for us. And so we ended up talking about that as a complete chapter, about the unique ministry that we are involved in. And it's a ministry that obviously we don't necessarily talk about because we respect that. But how fortunate we are to be asked by the Church for this.
Yes, yes.
For this ministry.
Yes. But whether the person is least in the eyes of the world or other, each one is the flesh of Christ, and how blessed we are. Brother, sometimes people wonder about vows when they look at priesthood, brotherhood. Could you please talk about that a little bit?
Sure. People do get confused when they say, well, what's the difference between a brother and a priest? Well, a diocesan priest doesn't take vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, whereas a religious priest does. And then we say, but religious priests do. So it gets very confusing for people. But what I always like to say is that it is not more, you're more of this, or you're more of that, or you're lesser, but it's a way of life. So as religious living the vowed life, we are called to live in community. We are not called to live on our own. We are not called to live in private. We are called to live in community, to share the unique aspect of our communal life and ministry. But living poverty, chastity, and obedience has meaning today just like it has always. It doesn't fade away because life has changed, right? For us as religious, we are mindful of the resources we have. That is poverty. It is not that we are hungry, that we are starving for any needs at all. We are not. But what do we do with that, those gifts that the Lord gives us? And do we truly take time throughout the day to be grateful for the food that He gives us, for the company that He presents to us each day? Being mindful of our world. The Holy Father is constantly reminding us, take care of the planet, you know, the richness of God's labor, God's fruit, to be mindful of that, and to always be mindful of people who don't have what we have. The chastity to love in a deeper way that most do not understand. And you can write, and books have been written, and still people will not understand why we commit ourselves to live the chaste life. And it is to allow us to be very free to love all people in all situations at all times, when our humanity sometimes tells us, close it up, do not give. Our chastity is saying, open, embrace. And our obedience is not being told what to do when you do it. It's about listening to the voice of God. And again, if the Lord thought like Tom Osorio, we'd be in a really bad way. But thank God He doesn't. He allows us to experience that that listening together. Listening is probably the hardest thing to do, because sometimes your superior has a very different mindset of what you've been hearing. And so it's to really experience that. And I always found in obedience, when it certainly wasn't even on my radar that I'd be asked to do something, that is where I saw Christ the most, and appreciate Him in ways that I didn't even know I was comfortable in. And so obedience for me is probably the one that brings me the most joy.
And we are called to follow an obedient Christ. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we forget that He knows where He needs us, and He knows where our greatest joy will be. And brother, I would like to ask you to bring out the fourth vow that your community and my community both take. It is part of our charism. It's a big part of our charism. It's a vow that, in a sense, all religious and priests are called to live the spirit of, because they're called to live the welcoming spirit of Jesus among His people. But would you kindly tell people about that vow?
Yes, that's always probably the easiest vow of all to talk about, the hardest for people to try to get a real understanding of it. And one of the things with hospitality for us is that we are open not only to receive those gifts that the Lord is giving us each day, but to share that and to recognize that and to welcome. And so the whole vow of hospitality came about because of John's life and the way he went about the streets of Granada, Spain, begging, right? So begging for us is very much a part of who we are as hospitallers. We are not seeking those things for ourselves, but we are seeking that on behalf of others. And the connection between the Little Sisters of the Poor and the Brothers of St. John of God is one that I'm personally grateful for. Otherwise, we would not be having this conversation as brother and sister today. And when it's again came to the church in a very simple way, where the Brothers of St. John of God embraced St. Jean Jugan in starting her foundation and presenting her with that bread basket, which was, in my opinion, the embrace of both congregations coming together to develop this spirituality. Hospitality for me has come from the doing and the being to the embracing. And it calls us to wonders that we don't even imagine, right? Hospitality is also the most difficult to live because Jesus is coming to us in a very unattractive way many times. And so we are all called through that vow of hospitality to be simple before him and others. And so I think the Little Sisters of the Poor in exercising hospitality was one that was a blessing for me in my early days, but also one that got me into trouble a lot. As a young brother, I would always say, well, you know, the Little Sisters wouldn't do it this way. The sisters would do it this way, and they go, we're not Little Sisters of the Poor. We're Hospitaller Brothers of St. John of God. And I said, I know, but it's different. And later on in life, of course, we see the reality. I think the beauty of hospitality is it is open to all to exercise. There's a wonderful story that happened to us in Nazareth. We have a Holy Family Hospital in Nazareth. And we were at a time where we appointed our first lay director. And there was a brother community of probably about seven brothers there. And the church had a hard time with that. And the church called our prior general and said, you need to put a brother in charge of the hospital. And our prior general said no. And he said, but this man is a Muslim. I want a Catholic in there. And our prior general Donatus said, no, this man is imbued with the spirit of hospitality, and he stays. This guy, our coworker, our brother, he talks openly about hospitality in his faith is very, very much a foundation for them. So again, hospitality being open to all people. And I think that's the beauty of it. As our vow, it's important for us because it allows us to live chastity, poverty, and obedience in the manner of our founders. Right? We're John of God. John of God wasn't a very organized man, you know, at all. In fact, what he did well was go to the streets and beg. And so, over time, his collaborators sent him out every day so that they can get work done, right? That's the reality of John of God. So, for us, hospitality is about going to the doors and seeking alms and bread and food, and also bringing back people who need assistance. One of John's acts of hospitality every day is that he went out with a full or an empty bread basket and came home with an empty bread basket and a few more patients for the hospital. So John would see people on the way and help them and then bring them back to his hospital. But he was good at that, right? He was good at the hospitality piece. And so it is a unique vocation in the church, but one that is an invitation for all.
And I think part of the beauty of hospitality is there's a place for everyone. We're all called to have hospitaller hearts, even if we don't have a vow of hospitality as consecrated religious. But that hospitality that Jesus reflected, we too are called to show in our daily lives. This once again is God Calling Vocation Vibes. I'm Sister Carolyn from the Little Sisters of the Poor. I have Brother Tom Osorio with me from the Hospitaller Order of St. John of God. If you have questions or comments regarding this podcast, our contact information is lspusapodcast@gmail.com. That's lspusapodcast@gmail.com. So if you are interested in being connected with resources regarding brotherhood, religious sisterhood, or any of the other vocations in the church, priesthood, other forms of consecrated life, we will be very happy to connect you with resources. Feel free to contact us. But Brother, before we close, I have one more thing I would like to ask you about. The vocation situation changes as society ebbs and flows in various ways. And right now, the church is in great need of a solid, strong core group of Christians who love the Lord and are willing to give a radiant witness in spite of the contradictions that society offers us. This all does affect vocations to priesthood and religious life, but you shared something interesting with me about vocations to your congregation. Would you please talk about that a little bit?
You know, vocations is one of those things that we go up and down. However, our prior general recently said to us that since the 1870s, today, we have more men in formation to be Hospitaller Brothers of St. John of God than we have had since the 1800s. That says to me that there are men and women still being called to our way of life. They have to be asked, right? And it's not necessarily going to a vocation fair. It is really to see our lives in action. And so God is still calling. God is still in charge. And he's doing it his way. And I think that is the beauty. So when we're seeing more men take up that invitation to be Hospitaller Brothers of St. John of God, that gives us hope. It's not going to be like it always was in the past. It's different. But that's what he's calling us to. And so when we pray for vocations, I always say too, let's not look at men and women on what they can bring to us, but what are we bringing to them?
Thank you. Very beautiful. And two, the young women who come to us as Little Sisters of the Poor, amazing young women, beautiful young women, strong in their passionate love for Jesus. And you know, God doesn't call people who are perfect, but he calls these beautiful people. And so you brought up a good point about invitation. We need to invite, and we count on those who are with us, who have joined us, to be ambassadors for vocations. Please reach out, invite. Tell people about this podcast. If you would, we'd be thrilled if you would like and share and follow it, so that more and more young people out there can become aware of vocations as a reality and as a real possibility for their happiness and for God's will for their lives, and have the boldness and the courage to step forward and embrace the vocation that God may be offering them. So thank you for doing that. And next time, we will look forward to having with us our Janjugan associates in the studio. And these are our lay associates who will have just made their promises and will be in the studio with us to talk about the vocation to lay association. And we look forward to that conversation. In the meantime, please don't forget, we can be reached at lspusapodcast@gmail.com. I thank all of you for joining us, and I thank especially Brother Tom for being with us today. And I promise that we will keep all of you, and Brother Will as well, in our prayers. Absolutely. For your daily journey with Jesus.